Good to be here. We're here inside the house of God before the freezing cold moves in on us. Say the cold is coming. We're going to be in Acts chapter number 1 this afternoon, this evening. Good to have all of you here, especially visitors that's come our way. We trust that you'll find a warm heart and a warm family and open arms here to get to know you better, and we're certainly glad that you have chosen our church to come and to worship at this evening. The last 4 Sunday evenings, we looked at why outreach. Why outreach? And you say, well, preacher, I got it. I understand why there must be and has to be outreach. And I see the need. I see that there's a lot of religious folks around us. Good folks that are in the sight of men are good, but goodness doesn't get anybody to heaven. It really doesn't. Morality doesn't. And I see a lot of people in guilt. I see people no way out. They're trying. They're struggling. I don't know. Just looking at some of the people that I've met here in the last 4 months, just seeing them spin their wheels, trying to dig themselves out. It seems like every time they get a foothold, they gain a step up, rock slips out from under them, and they slide right back down. And it's frustrating. It really is frustrating for that to take place. So I see the need, preacher. I understand why outreach. I'm just not sure how to do it. So the next 4 Sunday evenings, we're going to talk about how to reach out. How to reach out. Now, every day we meet people who need to know the good news about the Lord Jesus Christ. Every day we meet them. Whether it be co-workers, whether it be a mechanic where you take your car to, a clerk at a supermarket or a Dollar Tree, somebody at a yard sale, garage sale, neighbors, classmates, family members. We meet them. We meet a lot of folks out in and around about that need to know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. So as we meet them, what are we going to do with them? You have to understand something. He alone, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only reconciliation back to God. There's no other way. He's the only way. So what are we going to do about it? There's several statistical things that have been put out here lately about reaching out. And one of them said this, but studies show that less than 10% of church members ever share their faith with another person. 10% of church members ever, not in a year's time, not in a week's time, a month's time, but ever, 10% share their faith. Now I'm telling you, Jesus has commissioned his New Testament church to go and to make disciples out of all nations. Well, where is that found? It's found in Matthew. Matthew 28. So he's commissioned us. He's given us a commandment to do so. So it's important that we do what he says and follow him in fulfilling the Great Commission by reaching out into our community. For the last 20 years, our theological circles have told us that church is not important anymore. Church has lost its place. It's not relevant. Well, they found all their information in study guides and books written by men. The Lord Jesus Christ says the church is irrelevant. The Bible says that it's for today. It's for today. It's needful. It's needful, by the way. It really is. And so as we look today and we begin in Acts chapter number 1, and we begin to see how to reach out. The first thought we're going to have today is that I have been enabled enabled to share the gospel. If I've been enabled, that means before I had no ability to do so. Well, why was that? I had never witnessed the saving grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never before. When I was lost, without hope, I could not witness about the mercy and goodness of God. For some reason or other, we think as we interact with people that if we're not a walking concordance, we're not able to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we have to go to Scripture and find. Listen, hiding the Word of God in our heart is very important. Having in our mind readily available that we may use it is very important. Memorizing Scripture and putting it to memory and having it there, it's important. There's some times in spiritual battles where we don't have the ability to run and get a Bible out and say, what's that verse at? We have to pull it out of our mind. So that's why we hide the Scripture. There's times that we meet people that we are talking with them, and if we pulled out a Bible, it would shut off the conversation. But we can still share with them Scripture. Some people are not afraid of the Word of God. Some people, they're literally afraid of it. Like, you're going to brainwash them or something with the Bible. Oh, no, you're one of those guys. You know? But we can share Scripture from memory without them ever even knowing it. People quote sayings from Ziegler all the time. I don't know who he is. I've never read a book on Zig Ziegler. Some person who does leadership stuff, and I've seen quotes, many quotes by him, but I've never read a book by him. People quote a quote by Zig Ziglar. I'm not bothered by it. Man, that sounds like some good stuff there. So you don't have to say, well, let me tell you something, buddy. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Automatically, they know. When you say Romans 3:23, that's when the Bible dies. You know what you can say? It's, look, I'm just here to tell you, in my experience, every person I've met, including myself, have sinned and come short of the goodness and glory of God. So I appreciate that's paraphrasing. Look at the testimony of the Apostle Paul. He went back all the way to the Damascus Road and just told his story. Told what he knew, what changed his life. So we have been enabled. We've been enabled to do so. From who do you first, just think about this. From who do you first remember ever hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ from? The very first time, think about it, who? Just let your mind wander and think about it and begin to ponder it. Some of you, it may have been your mother. Some may have been a father. Some may have been a Sunday school teacher. Some of you may have been a co-worker. Some may have been a spouse. There's always somebody, wasn't it? And I'm so thankful that somebody took time to share the gospel message with me. So it's about people. People need the Lord. And we are people. And we have to interact with people. So think about who that person was in your life when you first heard the gospel message. And think about where you would have been if they'd never shared the gospel with you. Well, there's countless of people that we interact with the same way. The same exact way. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1 to 4. The Bible says there in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, we're going to read down to verse number 8, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. As we read this portion of Scripture, this passage of Scripture here, who do you pick out here that Jesus was sending His disciples, that He was going to send something or somebody or something or some person to His disciples? Who would that might be? Holy Spirit of God. You know, He said in John, expedient, I go away, and if I go away, I will come again. He said all that. But He said, it's good that I go away, because if I go away, the Comforter will come. And so He was going to send something to His disciples. And according to this passage, He was telling them there to go and to wait and don't be somewhere else. Be where I tell you to be, and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God unto you. And why did He do this? Verse 8 tells us why. To empower His disciples to witness. But ye shall receive what? Power. And ye shall be witnesses. Well, when did you receive the Holy Spirit of God? According to Scripture, we received the Holy Spirit of God upon salvation. We first heard the gospel and believed that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So we've received. We're sitting here this afternoon, this evening, and we're a child of God, dear friend, and we have trusted Him as our personal Lord and Savior. We have been sent, not only sent, and we've been sealed and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. For what purpose and for what reason? To be a witness. A witness where? He said there in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, ends of the earth. Well, where is all that? Because we don't live in, preacher, we don't live in Israel today. Well, where is this Jerusalem, this Judea? How does that apply to me? Well, Jerusalem, look at it like this. Jerusalem could be your hometown. Right here. Our community. Our circle. You say, we can only do so much here. There's so many people change houses around us and places, moving in, moving out. And by the time we make the circle and get back into them, they don't remember we've even been by. So what do? You just keep going to your Jerusalem. Keep going. Well, where's this Judea? Well, all of Florida. How about all of Florida? I mean, just up and down Florida. You know what they said last week in the paper, that Florida was going to outgrow and outpopulate New York here real soon? Isn't that amazing? There's a whole bunch of folks in New York. I mean, a whole bunch of folks up there. I think they said that in New York City alone, that there's a close to 90 dialects of languages that's spoken in New York City alone. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, where's that? How about Georgia? How about when you're traveling, you're going on your way, you stop somewhere, what's wrong with stopping and leaving a gospel tract with somebody in Georgia? Well, preacher, I don't know anybody there. They need to be saved. They really do. And here's the good thing about that. You're getting out of town. They get mad at you, you'll never see them again. But He didn't stop there, did He? Verse 8, He didn't stop there. Unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. Listen, we have a big job ahead of us, church. I mean, a large job ahead of us. Now, if Jesus were to appear to the disciples right here in our church right now, what do you think He might tell us? Do you think He'd change? Same yesterday, today, forever. Forever, Thy word is settled in heaven, O Lord. Do you think He'd change Acts 1:8 just because we live in Orlando? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. I think you would say, Lock Haven, you're responsible for Southeast Orlando, Kissimmee. You're responsible. This is your Jerusalem, and you need to get busy. Lake Nona, that's your areas. Oh, preacher, listen, I'm too young to be involved. Lord Jesus Christ, at the age of 12 years old, was in the temple asking and answering questions of those much older than him. The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that we're to serve the Lord in our youth. And notice that after he said in our youth, he never gave a retirement point either. If you have been born again by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, you can be a witness. Why do you think little Samara's grandma's coming to church today? Samara. Audrey, she's just a little girl. The little girl's got all her life ahead of her. We teach her right, disciple her right, she'll be a soul winner until she passes on out of this earth. What is a witness? A witness is somebody that shares what they have experienced. That's all it is. All we have to do is be willing to share our experience with Scripture. What happened when we heard Scripture? What happened when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how our life has been changed? That's it. We've been in power. You've received power. You've been enabled. So, I don't even know how to say or anything. Listen, it's very simple. The gospel message is not difficult. Not difficult. We make it difficult because of fear, because we might get rejected. We have to understand something. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the message of Christ. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 22. Acts chapter 2, verse 22. We're going to read a pretty lengthy portion of Scripture, so pay attention real close, but I want to emphasize some things that we learn in this passage of Scripture here in Acts chapter 2, verse 22. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. What do you see there? Life and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up. What's that? Resurrection. Do you have the life and the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that we should be holden of it. For David spake concerning him, I pursue the Lord also before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I should not be moved. Therefore, did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 28, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. What's the ways of life? Death, burial, and resurrection. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn him, with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of this, of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did it see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up. Wherefore will all We all are, what? Witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and being received of the Father, the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye know, now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he hath saith himself, the Lord said unto me, sit thou on my right hand until I make the foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made him, made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. In this little portion of the passage of Scripture, what we saw the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. We saw that Jesus died because of what? People's sinful actions. For all of sin. He had to die to pay the atonement for our sin. And what happened? Jesus is Lord and Christ. God and Savior. All people are called to turn to Jesus in faith and trust Him as Lord and Savior. In that little passage of Scripture, we saw the power of God. Right there. We saw how we must do it. We've got to present people with the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, why is it necessary to hear the death, the burial, and the resurrection? Why is it necessary to present them with Scripture? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Romans 10:17. It takes faith to get saved. It's through the grace of God, not any works that we can muster up. It's faith in Christ. Well, how do we get that faith? By the Word of God. Let me tell you, dear friend, it is so important that when we have opportunity to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we use as much Scripture as we possibly can. And again, you may not always have opportunity to open the Word of God. You may sense that if I open the Bible, it will break off conversation real quick. And it might. It really might. But think about it. When Saul was preaching the gospel around the globe, and the disciples was and apostles was doing their missionary travel, did they have a complete Bible? Didn't hinder them, did it? They just stayed at it. Stayed at it. What did they say? They kept on presenting what they knew. What they knew. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So why is it necessary that we tell people about Jesus with Scripture? Because they need to hear Bible. They need Bible. And just so that you know and have an understanding, Jesus has commanded us to be a witness. So, I understand why outreach. I understand that I've been enabled to share the gospel. What has to happen? What does Jesus, what does He expect people to do when they hear the message of the Lord Jesus Christ? What do you think the Lord expects? That they put faith and trust in Him. That's the expectation. Well, how are they going to do that unless we, the people of God, give them opportunity? We've got to be at this church. I was going over the attendance records for the past year and finishing out calculating everything. And God's been very good to us. Our Sunday morning has stayed exactly the same as last year, and our Sunday night has stayed exactly the same, but our Wednesday night has increased. By numbers of attendance, what I'm talking about here at the church. And so, preacher, how is that being good to us? We should have more on Sunday morning, more on Sunday night. And of course, thank the Lord for the increase on Sunday evening, but think about the folks that moved off this year. Folks moved off. Hey, God's been good to you. Well, how'd that happen? Because we've been faithful to reach out. And so, preacher, I really haven't been doing my part lately. It's never too late to start. Never too late to start. Not at all. Listen, we have to understand where our Jerusalem is. Our Jerusalem is right here. I've said this a countless thousands of times. Probably, not thousands, that's probably exaggerated, hundreds. We cannot be concerned for anybody in the Philippines, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, Georgia, if we're not concerned about those right around us. You can't do it. It's impossible. You know they'll say an outside out mind? Missionary comes through, present the word, church takes on for support. And, wow. Well, that's good. We added another missionary. How you really pray for him or, and their family over there if we're not reaching here? Holding the ropes here. It's important. Well, how do we do it? We have people in our sphere of influence. That's around us. That's where we start. That's where we start. People we interact with each and every day, job, neighborhood, wherever, at school, the marketplace. You understand something, church? It's done on purpose. On purpose. We have to purposely speak about Jesus. On purpose. I would encourage you tonight, think about somebody that you know that's lost, that you know that is not saved, and start praying for them. I'd write their name down on a list. I'd make a little list. I'd pray for that person. I'd be spent in prayer for that person's soul. Because it's important. And then after I pray and I ask God to help me to be fervent in prayer for them, I would ask God to open a door of opportunity. Now listen, I'm not talking about praying for somebody you knew in grade school that's working in China today. Because you likely ain't going to have opportunity. That's another way of getting out of what we're doing. I'm talking about somebody you meet daily. Somebody you come in contact with constantly, every other day, every week, and you know they're lost. Or at least you don't know they're saved. Pray for them. And then ask God to give you an open door of opportunity to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. I'm telling you, church, if it was important enough for God to send His Son, die on the cross of Calvary to save men's souls, it's important enough for us to get involved. And it's done on purpose. How many of you accidentally wound up here at church tonight? How many of you just laying there in your recliner watching something and all of a sudden the wind blew through? And, how did I get here tonight? You purposed in your heart to be here, didn't you? You know what? You guys come back on Sunday night and some don't. You've purposed in your heart to be faithful. You've purposed. You made a purpose choice, a conscious choice. Say, I'm going to be there. Well, the same way you've made a purpose choice in that, you're going to have to make, we are, as a church, a conscious choice to share the gospel. There's nothing going to change our community and our world like the gospel will. Nothing. They put all the social outreaches they want. They can give out soup and clothes and shelter people and raise your taxes, and you get mad and fight about it and scream about it. It's not going to change this world. What's going to change our world is the gospel. Jesus Christ is the factor that's missing in lives in our community. Just to be honest with you, church, God's reigned on the just and the unjust. But He's been really, really good to us. We get some good rain, but we're going to spend eternity in heaven with Him. They get some good rain, and they're going to spend eternity in a place called hell. You imagine raindrops falling on you. It fell on somebody you knew that's lost, and you had opportunity to present the gospel. Oh, preacher, it's not fair. Well, that's a hobby horse of mine. Life isn't fair, church. Life is not fair. I've told you a ton of times. People win and people lose in life. And if you keep telling your kids that it ain't fair how you've been treated, you're going to grow them up to be entitled. And they think, I'm going to heaven because I'm entitled. And they're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Life isn't fair. But we have a just God who is fair. And He lets mercy and grace meet our faith and renews and regenerates us and makes us and quickens us alive. You know what we need? I'm not sure about this. I'm not the end of all wisdom. But I think for some reason or other, we have thought for some time now that revival is for the lost. I don't think revival is for the lost. Evangelism is for the lost. I think revival is for believers. And I think we need to get to the point where we look back in the mirror and say, God, renew a right heart in me. Create a revival right here in me. Because I do believe revival and evangelism is they two hands working together. But as a church, as a believer, if I'm not revived in my spirit, I have no concern for the lost. Lord, revive me so I might reach out. Reach out into this community, into this world, and make a difference for the kingdom of God. One time I was working, and it started raining. We had all of our tools outside, and it was hot. One of them hot days in Louisiana, you know, rain showers just bust out. Well, everybody had their truck windows down. And when the rain started falling, the boss said, hey, let's get everything put away. Everybody ran toward their trucks to roll their window up. And all the horses, saws, and everything were still out there getting rained on. And I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just trying to make an example. I didn't worry about my truck. I ran out there and got his saws and got his table saws in. I got his skill saws in out of the rain. And then went and got my truck rolled up. And when work day was over, he came to me and said, Lane, I noticed that you took care of my stuff before your own stuff. I said, because your stuff is what feeds my family. Your stuff is what provides my paycheck. And that was important to me. My family eating, light bills being paid, trucks can dry out. Well, we need to figure out what's important to the boss, God, Lord, and Savior, and take care of Him and His business. And I guarantee you, He'll feed us.
Amen.
He will.